Now, your host, Michael Cohen, with the Capital City Recap on more compelling talk radio, 1320 WILS.
And we are back, 6:34 on a Thursday night in Lansing. Michael Cohen, James Platy producing. Now, just when you thought that Facebook couldn't get any bigger, the social networking giant filing for an initial public offering yesterday, one that's expected to be the biggest in history. But will going public change Facebook as we know it? To talk about it, I'm joined by Wall Street Journal reporter Shane D. Race, whose article on the story has been solidly positioned as the most popular WSJ.com article all day long. Shane D., welcome to the program. Thanks for joining me. Now, you note that CEO Mark Zuckerberg wasn't very eager to move ahead with an IPO. In early 2010, he told the Wall Street Journal that he was in no rush for Facebook.
That's true.
To go. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay, excellent. So, yeah, he basically said, hey, we're in no rush to go public. So what likely changed between 2010 and now?
Well, that's very simple. Basically, Facebook has tripped a federal law regulation that would require them to start releasing their financial information in April once they have more than 500 shareholders, which they now have. And so the SEC was going to require them to release that information anyway. And so it didn't really make sense to do that, to have to release that financial information and have all the liabilities to shareholders that would come with releasing that financial information without any of the upside or the benefit that would come with an IPO, which is a big fundraising event. And, you know, as we've reported, Facebook may end up raising something like $10 billion. So that's a lot of money to leave on the table.
You say analysts were less than pleased, or maybe they were underwhelmed, I should say, by the numbers Facebook released when it came to the revenues. What was it, and what did analysts expect to see?
I think that there was so much hype around Facebook that people were sort of expecting to see this just, you know, record-breaking growth and these unbelievable numbers. And it actually was a lot more subdued than people thought, which shouldn't really be surprising when you read through Facebook's regulatory filing, because Mark Zuckerberg has said that he wants to be very methodical about how he builds up the business. He doesn't want to build up the advertising side of the business at the expense of users. And so he's been very careful not to sort of, you know, try to squeeze every penny out of advertising. The revenue was $3.7 billion. There were some predictions that had it at closer to $4.3 billion. Their profit was $1 billion. And I think that, you know, if we look at some of the other startups that have gone public recently, Groupon, Zynga, the growth that they've had is, you know, something like for Groupon, 695% growth year over year. Facebook, by contrast, had 88% growth year over year. Now, that's nothing to be ashamed of, but it's not sort of the kind of unbelievable eye-popping growth that people expected.
Mark Zuckerberg now has essentially full control of the company, a majority share a stakeholder of the company. Now, is that going to change when the IPO comes out?
No, that's how much control he has. He definitely, you know, has a very tight grasp on that company. This is something that a lot of startup founders are doing now. Mark Pincus, interestingly, actually created a three-class structure that gave him even greater control over his company. So Mark Zuckerberg is following in the footsteps of many Silicon Valley founders who've tried very hard to maintain control of their companies, but I don't think it's the most drastic we've seen, but it's up there.
I'm talking to Wall Street Journal reporter Shane D. Race about her article on Facebook and the IPO that is set to come out, I think, this spring. It's a story that is the most popular one on WSJ.com, or you can check it out. Now, Google's IPO came out in 2004, and it looks like the company has certainly continued to grow and diversify since then. Are we likely to see Facebook also expanding its business beyond the website?
You know, I think that Facebook's main goal right now is to grow its advertising business. That's where it really needs to grow. That's the core. The other business that it has is through something called payments, and this is where they allow outside developers to build products on their site, and as people pay for those products on the site, Facebook takes a 30% revenue cut. Now, as it stands right now, Facebook only takes that 30% cut from game developers, but there are all sorts of other types of developers, and in their S-1, in their regulatory filing, they do indicate that they may try to extend payments, the cut that they take through payments, to other types of developers.
Facebook's membership has grown. You note that it's now has 845 million users globally. It's up 39% from a year ago. Is Facebook now positioned in a way that they're big enough that they won't see any kind of a mass migration like we saw on MySpace?
Oh, that's so hard to predict. You know, when I was saying before about the stunning growth numbers, one thing that is stunning has been the growth numbers when it comes to their users. And that's one place where they are very, very strong. It's going to be very hard, I think, to disrupt that. Obviously, they're seeing some competition now from Google Plus, which is Google's social network. But of course, you know, the numbers just can't compare. The argument that Facebook makes is that they have this very strong network effect because, you know, you want to be on the site since all your friends are on the site. But, you know, even in their regulatory filing, they admit that many social networks have come before them, Friendster, MySpace, and they've fallen. And so that is also one of the risk factors in their regulatory filings.
What about the working culture at Facebook? I know it's unique and somewhat special, certainly as compared to other companies. Is there a concern that among their employees that could very well change when the company goes public?
You know, it's funny because yesterday Mark Zuckerberg and a lot of Facebook employees were posting pictures on Facebook of these flyers that were going around the office that said "Stay focused and keep shipping." Shipping means building products and sending them out. And so the company is certainly trying very hard to keep people focused. It's long been a concern for Mark Zuckerberg that an IPO would distract employees, and that's something that he doesn't want to happen. So they certainly made a big show of it yesterday, of trying very hard to keep everyone focused, keep business as usual, and just stay focused.
Well, I'm guessing the money might distract them. Are they likely, including Mr. Zuckerberg, to make a fortune here?
Mark Zuckerberg is going to make a lot of money. Obviously, at the high end, he would be worth $28 billion. That's a lot of money for anyone, let alone a 27-year-old. There are probably, you know, hundreds of people who will become millionaires out of this IPO.
Is there any idea of how many shares will be out, how much they might cost, and when that might happen exactly?
Usually the pricing doesn't happen until you get much closer to the IPO date, about a week or so right before the company goes on its roadshow to meet with investors. They'll file a price range, and then the day before the IPO, they will actually price the IPO. So that's a far way off. I think that, you know, I've reported in the past that they were looking at a $100 billion valuation. It's really hard to know at this point whether they'll actually be able to command that type of valuation, just because there are so many other factors. There's obviously, you know, investors' appetite for social media. There's the European economy. There's our economy. And, you know, on top of all that, you know, you just kind of don't know what the SEC is going to find and what's going to happen over the course of the next 3 months as Facebook's business kind of gets ripped apart and taken apart. And so we don't really know, but we do know that they're looking at some range between $75 billion and $100 billion.
In terms of a billion users, is Facebook likely to hit that this year even?
You know, I think it's unclear. They still have a lot of room to grow in certain countries, like Japan and Brazil, where there are other social networks that dominate. They could potentially grow there. You know, that's sort of, I think, where they're focusing right now is international. They also need to focus a little bit on mobile. They certainly want to reach 1 billion users. They say in their regulatory filings that they want to reach all 2 billion internet users. Obviously, in order to do that, they're going to need to get into China, and that's something that at the moment they cannot do because of the censorship rules there.
When you talk about going mobile, certainly Google Maps is a very popular piece of software. I certainly use it on my phone. Could we maybe see a Facebook Maps where you can locate all your friends on your cell phone, allowing you to meet them, maybe stalk them? Is that one potential thing we could see moving forward?
You know, Facebook generally doesn't build those products itself. Those are the types of things that app developers would build. So I can't really see Facebook putting any resources into something like that. It's just too, you know, it's too complex. What they do already have is a check-in feature. And so if you go to a restaurant, you can tell your friends where you are. But that's about the extent of it. I don't really see them doing something like Maps just because that's kind of gimmicky and something that an app developer could do.
Wall Street Journal reporter Shandy Race. Shandy, thank you very much for joining me.
Thank you.
Also, you can check her